Hello today. Welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen. And if you're new here, the year is 1997, and we're here to prove it's the greatest year in music history, one album at a time. So today we're talking about Homework by Daft Punk.
So I guess that begs the question, did you do your homework?
That's enough. Yes.
For the first time in my life, I did.
Yeah, I did a little bit. Yeah.
That's good. So what's your history with Daft Punk? Where'd you first hear about them?
So I don't know. Again, I'm realizing that it wasn't some ginormous, pivotal, impactful moment. Mm-hmm. But if I think about it, I'm sure I heard Around the World first.
Same.
Just so everyone knows, that Homework was their debut album.
That's true.
Yeah. But what about you?
Yeah, I think the same. I mean, they just kind of existed.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is probably a testament to their impact, I think. Mm-hmm. But I imagine it was their Around the World video.
Yeah.
Because it was so different and,
right,
you know, just interesting. There's no band. There's no,
yeah,
much of anything other than just like choreographed dance.
Dance. I know. Even when I listen to that song, all I'm thinking about is like the stairs.
Yeah.
From that music video.
Like, how is no one falling?
Yeah.
Where's the ADA railing?
Accessibility.
There should be a ramp also. I know,
this
in addition
is not
to stairs.
ADA accessible.
It was the 90s though.
Okay. Yeah. But I thought the same. I remember seeing that video and thinking, this is so unique.
Yeah.
So unique. I mean, it's so well done, the choreography and everything. And I know they do cuts, but still.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, just to get into some of the music video aspect already, that is a Michelle Gondry joint who did the Everlong video in the same year.
Okay. Wow.
And he also did a little movie called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh.
It's not a big deal.
I love it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's okay. French.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, if anybody listening didn't know, Daft Punk is French.
That's true.
French house, as Wikipedia calls them.
Yes.
But yeah, speaking of their music videos, I have to say, after we watched them together, I love the, to me, in my opinion, there's this through line, mm-hmm, of there's obviously some production and direction. There's like,
they're high value or high. Yeah.
The intention is there.
Yes.
It's like, this is storyboarded and clear and there's a plot and we're going to.
Yeah.
But the thing, even though that is true, they're still so lo-fi, mm-hmm, and so it's not amateur. It is not amateur. It is like, oh, this is clearly produced and like there's money behind this, but it wasn't like a Mariah Carey joint or,
right,
like a high end millions and millions. It still looks like it could kind of be a home video,
mm-hmm,
but not.
Well, and that's kind of the Michelle Gondry and or Spike Jonze touch,
yeah,
of like indie ish, but, right, they're doing some really intense effects or, yeah, choreography, both, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in Da Funk, the video for Da Funk. That's, mm-hmm, so that's a Spike Jonze video.
Oh, okay.
So he, you know, he of course is he's married to Sofia Coppola.
Mm-hmm.
Coppola, when they got a divorce, Coppola made Lost in Translation. He later made Her, kind of about that divorce. But also, I mean, he's done tons and tons and tons of other music videos, but he did like the Buddy Holly video.
Oh.
Where on the surface, it's really plain. It's Weezer playing a song, but it's seamlessly woven into existing old footage from Happy Days. Right. So again, it looks lo-fi, but it's high budget. And he also did like the Sabotage video.
Okay.
Which is like a full-on, like, looks like a 70s cop drama, which is awesome. And then he did like the Fatboy Slim video where Christopher Walken's dancing and then flying around in a Weapon of Choice, I think it's called.
Right.
So again, on the surface looks kind of like, oh yeah, like it's this kind of low key, but also there's a through line.
Yeah.
But really high budget. Like in Defunk, for example, you know, you have the dog.
Yeah.
The dog man or man dog.
Yes.
And he's just walking around New York, but like it's a really, really, really high-end looking prosthetic.
Yeah.
And the mouth is moving or whatever. He's not just like a Disney character.
Right.
At Disney World or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's interacting with people, and some of which are actors, some of which I read weren't actors and were just reacting to seeing a guy with...
a very realistic dog.
Very realistic dog head. It would kind of look like the Dare dog.
Oh, yeah, it did.
From the 90s?
Yep.
Dare, Daft, I don't know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that one was so cool, too, because it was really almost like a short film with Daft Punk's song in the background, because there's like... It has a script. It has dialogue. It has him interacting with people in full scenes.
Right.
And the background...
is always the track.
Is always the track. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you also hear, like, he's walking around New York City, so there's tons of other just diegetic noise just happening. You'll hear sirens. You'll hear people. You'll hear traffic. You'll hear everything. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And wasn't one of them that we watched... directed by Roman Coppola?
Yes.
Right?
I think that was Revolution 909.
Okay.
Or Burnin. I'm not really...
I think it was Revolution.
Yeah.
What else did Roman do? Movies or otherwise? Anything?
Yeah, he's done a lot. Obviously not as famous as Francis Ford Coppola, Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
Nikki Coppola, a.k.a. Nicolas Cage.
Right.
But yeah, I want to say he might have been I feel like he was a co-writer on some of the Wes Anderson stuff, maybe Life Aquatic. And I think he's also like directed and written, directed some like indie movies too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Sorry. Went off on a music video tangent. Maybe we'll come back to that too.
Yeah. Cause there's a couple more that are interesting.
We still have more to talk about, but, so after listening to it again this week, does it still rule?
Oh yeah, unequivocally.
I know.
I mean, it's timeless. Like it's like I'm not the hugest like house music junkie per se, but this was definitely surely was our introduction to anything like house music.
Right.
You know, because they even some of these songs came and the album came out in 97, but some of them were released in like 96, 95.
Okay.
I think maybe even their first single might have come out in like late 94 or something.
Yeah. I noticed that they formed in 93.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, it's still just so good.
So good.
But I thought it was really interesting because we know what they did after, you know, the full robot persona and... you know, Discovery with One More Time and the through line of all those videos. And then they went to make their last album. And it turned out it was not really DJ electronic, but more just like a disco album. You know, I mean, they're so all over the place, but this is the only one that's to my mind is like a pure like house record.
Yeah.
Front to back.
Yeah.
With other influences, of course, and other stuff mixed in, but it's just so good.
I know. Agreed. I love it. And I know that like in 97, we already had an episode about Prodigy, but we don't know a whole lot else about house or dance, I guess. But this just blew up. But I think it blew up for a reason. And the other thing I want to say is that it feels timeless and mm-hmm. classic for another reason.
Okay.
Because, well, I truly didn't realize that those YouTube videos we stumbled upon.
Yeah.
How much they're sampling from pure disco and pure funk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, obviously they're ramping it up four times or whatever it's called, pitching, changing the pitch. Oh, yeah,
slowing down, increasing the pitch, speeding up, decreasing the pitch. I mean, doing all sorts of crazy effects and everything. So and cool.
All, I guess you could say, if you're a true DJ, you are doing that anyway with the discs, like speeding it up and then introing this section and then mm-hmm. slowing it down and then all of that. And in 97, they probably had way more tech, you know, choices and
right.
But the way they cut those samples together,
mm-hmm.
just
oh yeah,
mind blowing.
And especially for it, I mean, it was two dudes messing around.
Yep.
I just love insanely eclectic music tastes.
Yeah.
And pulling samples from like insanely obscure stuff. And then sometimes not obscure at all.
Right.
But
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, but ELO. Twisting it around and kind of making it their own, that's kind of a gray area,
yeah.
I think. But yeah, like I noticed too, not to go back to music videos, but in the, I think it's the video for Burnin'.
Okay.
Where there's a firefighter and it's kind of flashbacks to him as a kid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The firefighter's like going up to like the party, like in an office building.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it was like they wanted to shoot it in Chicago as like an homage to like Chicago house music. And there's all of these, other DJs that were like a lot of their friends and influences and or both that are in like the party scene. So they're like, from the beginning, they understood like where they were coming from.
Wow.
You know, and actually the guys themselves have cameo, they're in there, but you don't really know.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you don't know what they look like.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what they look like? I never...
Yeah.
I just figure it kind of has been erased from the internet.
No, because there's footage of them pre-robots doing like live shows before this album came out.
Wow.
And I think in the inside of the record mm-hmm. gatefold, because it's a double album, because it's, what is it, 75 minutes long?
Yeah.
So it fits on two records, but... There's a lot of like, there's like a nice photo array that I think that was one of their desks and they staged it with all of these cool things, concert tickets for this or a Kiss poster or I forgot other things. And I think there's pictures of them in there too.
Okay. Interesting.
So they had the mystique, but they didn't really have like this robot persona. That was kind of like, at least my understanding is that was kind of between release of this and release of the next record, which wasn't for another 5-6 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 4 years, I guess.
Yeah. Agreed. So is it a no skip album?
No. I mean, here, you know.
Oh.
There's a couple on there for me.
Yeah.
That like, what is it called? Rolling and Scratching.
Yeah.
And rock and Roll or whatever.
Yeah.
They're a bit harsh and it's on purpose. Like they're tapping into, genre that so they're tapping into some niche, you know, mm-hmm. of dance music and stuff they've seen or stuff they've done, the clubs and stuff like that. But it's a lot. Some of them can be a lot. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to say, I listened to it a few times front to back the past few days. One of the times I was doing a deep clean of the house and I didn't want to...
Deep house, if you will.
Deep house.
Okay, sorry.
Right.
Go on.
I didn't want to, you know, skip or change it.
Oh, yeah.
It was good just the way they knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect from front to back.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were like wanting to concentrate, or, you know, if I were doing something, I don't know, with headphones on that required focus, then I'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to skip this. Mm-hmm. But not that many.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I was reading that they, from the beginning, were very much about like control of the, they were saying like to them, the control is freedom. So in the sense that if they control the music down to, we're sampling this tiny little bit from here, mixed with that, mixed with that, mixed with that, whatever. But also to the extent where since the beginning, despite it being on a major label, they've always owned the master of all of their music on their own little like mini kind of label that doesn't exist or something like that, right?
Wow.
So they own everything from the jump because they didn't want anyone to go and do with it that wasn't in their control, because it's like this really cool perfectionism, you know, to the nth degree.
Robotic.
Yes, it's very robotic, which I love.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. But yeah, I have to say right here, right now, one thing I love is that their third album is called Human After All.
Right. It's like, well, look, they are human after all.
I love it.
Yeah. They're or like, they're saying, well, we're human after all.
Look, we're wearing these robot costumes and all of our songs are electronic, but we're humans.
Yeah. After all.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, how does this stand up to the rest? Or, like, is this their best album? What do you think?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've been looking forward to this topic.
Okay.
I don't know. Wow. I don't know.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
What to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm so, like, mixed. Every album is so good in its own way.
Right.
But if, you know what? Alive 2007 is not a studio album.
That's true.
It's a live album.
It's a live album.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you get it? If you're listening right now and you've never listened to Alive 2007, stop what you're doing.
Yes.
And go listen to that. But it's the best. I remember listening to Oh Yeah on homework.
Oh yeah? Okay. We've lost control.
But I remember thinking, what am I missing? Like, I thought this led into something else. Right. I thought, wait a minute. I thought this was mixed with something. No, I was thinking of the live album, Alive 2007.
Yeah.
And thinking, it's anyway, listen to me.
Well, so I think that, well, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm just, I think that's the best, in my opinion. The albums are good, and the songs are good, the tracks are good, all of them almost equally, in my opinion.
Agreed.
But if I were to sit down and pick a Daft Punk album, it would be the live album.
Right.
Alive 2007.
So you bring up an interesting point, because most of the time, a band that puts out a live album, you wouldn't really consider it its own album. Like, oh, it's just live versions of.
Right.
But every single track on that record is splicing together, sampling, if you will, to some, I think on one of them has three different songs.
Yeah.
And they kind of make, it's almost like they make a new song.
Yep.
So I feel like in that sense, you could say that it is in its own album.
Okay.
And not just a live album, the way a band would come out with one, two, or three albums.
Right.
Have a live record that just plays live versions that kind of sound like the studio with a little crowd noise.
Right.
Like, this is not that.
Agreed.
This is so different.
Yeah.
Which every single song is different than their record it was released on previously.
Mm-hmm. which is why I, when I heard, oh yeah, I kept thinking there's something missing. There's something, what, I thought this sounded different. It's because I was so used to hearing it on Alive that, anyway, you're exactly right. It's its own song at that point.
Right.
I highly recommend. So if I were to compare this one, it's very good. It's on par with the other three studio albums, but my favorite is Alive 2007.
I like that.
What about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I didn't, in the context of now that we're sort of thinking about it, if Alive is its own record, you know?
Yeah.
I would probably, you know, before I thought about that, I was thinking like, okay, well, my number one is going to be Discovery, just because like it has One More Time and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Not that Alive doesn't also, right?
Yeah.
And put Homework as a close second.
Okay.
But now that we talk about the live record,
see,
standing on its own, now I'd have to go back and revisit. Like, I need to listen to all those front to back.
Yeah.
Dig out the records of all, well, all four or five. I mean, we had that huge box set, which also comes with a record for Alive 97.
Right.
Which is just like a 45-minute DJ set.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
I still, my gut says Discovery is still going to be my number one.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'd have to go and listen to him again, and I'd have to go watch the Daft Punk's, what is it, Interstellar 5555, that anime they did.
Oh, right.
Or that's, anime they didn't, you know, yeah. You know, yeah. They didn't draw it themselves.
Oh, they didn't?
They didn't hand animate it. Cell Animation. They got robots to do it for them.
Right.
Just kidding. But the tie-in of this, like, movie and, like, I don't know, that was just so cool, but yeah, you're kind of making me think differently.
I know.
About Alive.
Yeah.
07.
And honestly, I usually don't love live albums. I love watching live performances.
And you're a big fan of Ed Kowalczyk's band Live.
That's true. But I love watching like YouTube videos of live performances of any band or singer, songwriter, or French house duo. But
yes,
this live album is just so good. And the crowd, it just go listen to it. But also listen to Homework. It's really good too.
And Discovery.
And Discovery.
And Human After All.
Okay.
And Random. Here's the weird thing. Like, I know a lot of people wrote off Random Access Memories, but here's the thing.
It hits.
When you go back and listen to it now,
it's
10 plus years later. I think it was 2013.
Yeah.
It is its own thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's still them.
I know.
And every record is its own thing, but it's still them.
Yeah.
Which is so fascinating. Plus, not to mention the other record we have here in the cabinet, their soundtrack they did for the second Tron movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that has, it's not just beats and scratching or whatever. there's orchestral accompaniments, etc.
Mm-hmm.
All along with just some really, I mean, there's a couple of like some of their best songs are these little like minute and a half sequences.
Right.
In a sequel not many people remember for anything other than Daft Punk of Tron 2.
Wow.
: Tron Harder.
No, it wasn't called Tron Harder, was it?
No.
Okay.
It's called Tron Legacy.
Oh my God. I was like, we need to write them a letter.
If you need to do more titles like this.
Okay, back to Homework. Do you have a favorite song?
I do.
Yeah.
So I kind of broke them up into sections. Like, there's the singles, which I think there were about five.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Around the World, you know, that's an all-timer.
Just the
you
best.
Know. Is it too repetitive? I mean, they really don't say anything else.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know. Still great. Still great.
It's good. It wasn't overplayed.
No.
No.
Well, we'll see. We'll get there. Da Funk, again, another all-time classic. I really love Revolution 909. But I picked out three that weren't like the most mainstream.
Oh, okay.
That I also really liked.
Yeah.
So one is called Teachers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That,
and then Burnin'.
Yep.
And then the song, which is funny because I don't think it's on the Alive 07 record, but the song called Alive, which was released, I think, well in advance of this album coming out. It's one of their earlier songs.
Okay.
It's towards the back half. It's either next to last or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like slow, melodic, still house music. It's really just like really great groove, really great synth lines.
Nice.
And I was just, that one's really stuck with me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Hearing it. Yeah. I heard it after listening to the record 2-3 times this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I gotta say, I love Revolution 909.
Yes. Correct.
So much.
That's the correct answer. Yes.
I do like Defunk a lot. And then for some reason, not just because of Alive 2007. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a great song.
So good.
They're all so good.
Around the World, too. But those, Revolution 909, Defunk, and Oh Yeah, they're my favorite.
Yeah.
I just love them.
Yeah, and what's funny, too, is that, like, there's a couple that are, they're little, you know, interludes or even, like, a skit or whatever. Like, the first song on the album, too, like, it's still good. Like, it's a great setup. And then, like, that one where they're doing, like, a radio call-out.
Oh, yeah.
I read was apparently just like, they just thought it would be cool to do like a shout out to how like radio stations in America work.
Okay.
And how they do these call outs and, you know, paying homage to that. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Did you ever see them live?
No.
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 Same.
There was never a...
They never came to South Texas.
Believe it or not.
USA.
Believe it or not.
Unfortunately. But yeah, you know what? I have to hand it to them and give them full credit. I love that they were like, no, we're just going to play a few shows across the world.
Here and there.
Twice. One in 97 and one in 2007.
Well, I think they did a little more than that.
Not but. One, but I mean one tour. Like they did Daft and Direct Tour in 97. And then they did the Alive Tour in 2007.
Yeah.
Which we got the two live albums from. But even on those two tours, they only did a few in North America and then a few in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few in Japan or Asia. Like, that was it.
It's so cool.
And it was the
living the dream.
The big cities. And they were dressed as robots. And then they were like, we're done.
Yeah.
Literally done.
And I know they've done, like, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Coachella. Supposedly, at one point, I think they played Red Rocks.
I know.
That's just, I can't fathom.
I'm crying just
thinking. How do you fit that pyramid on the tiny Red Rock stage?
Oh, man.
I think a lot of it was that, too. I mean, all the stage production.
Yeah.
And just, that's a lot of, to do a full world tour, that's a lot of beep boops.
And lights and,
Of pressing buttons on a rig.
Yeah. But they do it the best. Like, I don't know. So, here's a question. Do you think they're going to do a comeback?
No.
No. But that, you know what? Fine. All the power to them. That's amazing. Yeah. They were like, we had fun and we're done.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They called their shot.
And
they
won
album of the year or whatever it was at the Grammys. And then they went home.
And we crushed it. And nobody has done it like us since then.
And that's true.
And never. Well, maybe. I don't know. Who knows what the future holds. But they're like, you can't hold a flame to us. We're the best.
Yeah.
You know, I just love them. They're so good. They're just so in a world of their own.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. And I think, I think, it's just, it's so cool that like, it's just a couple of really good friends
that
wanted to make music. You know, they had said that this album, they didn't even think about it in terms of let's make an album. Were like, let's just make a bunch of songs just because it's like fun to do, and learned whatever techniques they, you know, needed to learn to like create this kind of vision, you know, because you kind of have it in your head. And then I'm sure at some point, especially in the, when they got their start in the early to mid 90s, of how do you go about constructing
all these samples
and everything, right?
Right.
Or getting the rights to, like, the rights seems insane to me that they own the masters and it's all, not all, but mostly samples. And it's so interesting.
Yeah.
But that they were just like, yeah, we just made a bunch of songs. And then once we had a bunch of songs, we kind of thought, oh, maybe this could be an album. Then they went about like, what, how would we order it? How would we make it to where it could flow as an actual album? But it was never like, okay, time to write the album. Let's go.
Right. Geniuses.
And then there was like, supposedly there, you know, some bidding war because they were blowing up and.
Wow.
But it was like also kind of unheard of that like a couple of French dudes making dance music got signed to like Virgin Records from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And.
That, so we have, it's not a theory, it's just fact. French bands know how to do it, period.
That's true.
We just saw Air recently play Moon Safari in its entirety, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then Phoenix, also from France.
Right. Not Phoenix TX, Phoenix FA.
And not Phoenix, Arizona, USA, but
right.
Phoenix, the band. We've now seen them 3-ish times. They're so good. Like, I will never not go to a Phoenix show. That's how much fun and how good it is.
They played the Olympics. You have to be famous to play the Olympics.
Oh, man. Speaking of, is Kavinsky French?
I would imagine.
Maybe.
Because.
Did you know he opened for Daft Punk in the 2007 tour?
You know, I think I did know that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know he had been around that long. And I think I remember reading that, like, tidbit.
That's so cool.
Because I only know Kavinsky, or first ever heard Kavinsky from the Drive soundtrack.
Me too.
Which is only a few years later, 2010, maybe? Something like that?
Yeah. Okay, so what were you saying about something was overplayed? How dare you? I don't want to hear it.
Well, I mean, when you... I assume they say the term around the world at least 365 times in that song.
Oh, it could get. It can't.
Was it overplayed?
I see what you're saying.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like it as a song wasn't overplayed, but once you're into the third minute, you're like, all right, I think we can change it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's not that it was overplayed. It's just, it is the repetition.
Of this.
They go around and around and around and around. I mean, it's just, come on. I'm kidding. We're going around those stairs is what they're doing in that video.
Yeah. All right. Well. Oh.
Any final thoughts?
I have one, and maybe you have the same one. It's not about homework, though. It's just about Daft Punk.
Okay.
When we were watching the music videos, I was like, wait, we have to watch.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if you had the internet in the early 2000s.
If you were familiar with the internet.
You remember a little video by two girls who were doing a choreographed dance to...
Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger.
Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. Yeah. And we rewatched it. And if you didn't have the internet in the early 2000s or don't know what I'm talking about or do know what I'm talking about, please go rewatch it because it is just pure genius.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Gen Z, it left off where your precious TikTok left off. Okay?
Yeah.
This is pre-TikTok.
TikTok could never.
And Vine could never, only because... You only had 6 seconds,
that's
and
true.
This is a longer song, but yes.
Oh, man. I love it. Who did it? Well, we'll never know.
Well, my favorite part is the very, very, very end, because I guess they didn't feel the need to edit it out. Mm-hmm. She has to walk back. One of them walks back up to the camera to turn it off. And as she's walking up, the song's over.
Yeah.
As she's walking up like with her arms bent like a robot.
As a robot.
And it's, that's fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I was going to say, just to kind of wrap up another one of the videos. So okay. That Defunct video.
Yeah.
With the dog man.
Yeah.
Charles the dog, if you will.
Oh.
So apparently they were like, they didn't really have any intention, I guess, of doing any more videos or I don't know what or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like, their fans were sad that Charles the dog is like an emo pup.
Yeah.
In this video. So they were like, we want to do a video. Daft Punk directed it themselves. Spike Jonze is in it as the director within the video. And it's to show, like,
what?
Hey, Charles the dog is okay. He moved out to L.A. He's an actor. He
That's
has, like,
right.
a hot girlfriend, and he gets in a red convertible and drives off into the sunset.
Is that why he made a comeback?
Yeah.
No way.
They wanted to show their fans that, like, no, Charles the dog is okay.
He's doing well.
He's doing well.
He healed his leg.
He's living the dream.
He's no longer on crutches.
Yeah. To show that he's a good boy.
I love
a GB.
That. Oh, that's great.
It's fantastic.
I didn't know there was such a backstory.
Yeah. It's just, I thought that was amazing.
Wow. Very cool.
But yeah, I think any other final thoughts? I mean, just definitely listen to the album. Listen to the deep cuts on the album. There's lots of underheard songs on here.
Yeah. Listen to the Alive 97.
Yes.
Also, just to give it its time.
Of course.
But all the records are great, including Homework.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we get into ratings?
I think so.
What do you got out of 97?
I'm going to go 91.
Wow.
Out of 97.
Okay.
What about you?
Interesting. I had it as a 94.
Okay. I knew you'd be more than me.
Okay.
But I didn't think we'd... Yeah.
I am more robotic. I don't really have a soul or feelings.
No.
So, it's perfect for me.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that, that's going to do it.
Okay.
And thanks everybody for listening. Make sure to follow us on social. We're at Greatest Music Pod, all your favorite social platforms.
Yeah. And tell us your favorite tracks from this album. If you've ever heard Alive 2007 or 97, give us a follow and a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Pocket Casts.
And stay tuned for next week, where we'll be covering something a little different.
Yeah, we're going to switch things up.
Yep, we're going to close out the season with a few bonus episodes.
Yeah. So now that we're done with full-length albums, which there were plenty more, but you know, nobody wants to hear an entire episode about the Our Lady Peace album. Anyway.
Wow. Shout out to Our Lady, please, who's definitely listening.
You'll hear them again. Our first bonus episode is going to be all about our favorite one-hit wonders from 97.
Right. We're calling it the O'Neaters.
Yeah.
For those that know.
Yes.
All right. See you next week.